Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
Yes, it is so. Drums call Mudtoe to the microphone, and he is here for Mudtoe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me this evening. Apologize for my ragged voice. I have been fighting a cold all week. Not precisely sure where it came from. I did start a new full-time job this week, and I'm around a lot of people. I'm not familiar with their personal ecosystems, so I'm wondering if I received a disease organism from one of them. That didn't seem like that. What they taught us in school is that isn't quite long enough. It's going to be at least 7 days to incubate a cold. That was the old thing they said about that how catching a cold from being out in the cold was an old wives' tale, because you actually had to have the virus and have the virus in your body for at least 7 days before you got sick. So it didn't make any sense, like you were out in the cold one day and caught a cold the next day, that the logistics just didn't work. I don't know. I just got this crappy cold and I don't like it. It's really not that bad of a cold. It's just on that borderline of annoyance. You know, it's not so horrible that I feel like I have to be in bed all the time, but I'm not clear either. It's there just enough to let me know that it's there and that it's affecting my life. But I'm going to try and fight through it here. I took a little nap before the show, which is always dangerous, because when I take a nap before the show, I tend to sleep through the show. That's happened several times. But not tonight. I did wake up. Actually was woken up by the comedian Louis C.K., or Louis C.K., depending on who you listen to. I had to put some comedy albums up on my computer upstairs to keep me company. And when the switch occurred from, I was thinking Bob Newhart was on first. That's quite a shock there, going from Bob Newhart to Louis C.K. But actually, in this case, in the literal sense, it was a shock, because the Bob Newhart album was kind of quiet and the Louis C.K. album was much louder. So when that switch occurred, it woke me up. And this was a big, loud, you know, crowd noise when they introduced Louis. Oh, geez, it's 10 after 11. I got to get downstairs and start getting ready for the show. So here I am. And for the next 27 minutes or so, I will attempt to give you just a bit of a glimpse into my life, because that is my healing modality. I am a medicine man of the Nemenha tradition. It is an adopted Native American tradition. I do not share, this is not quite the right way, I was going to say I do not share the blood of, that sounds like I'm a vampire. I'm not related to any of the first people who were here in the Americas, at least not any direct way. They say you go out six generations or six degrees of separation, you know, Kevin Bacon and all of that. If you go out a certain distance, everybody is connected to everybody else, but I'm not saying it's a sort of a more direct lineage. I am not connected to the first peoples. I cannot make that claim. What I do claim is that I have been adopted into a Native American spirituality, which is connected to spirituality of one of the first peoples, and I couldn't begin to share with you exactly how that works. If anyone's interested, you can go to the Nemenha.com website or get in touch with our public relations director, Chief Iggy Hoopwatcher Garcia, and I'm sure they can explain how it works far better than I can. But what it means is that I am a healer, and my modality is the written and spoken word, as my surrogate said there in the introduction. So how that works is I basically talk about what's on my mind, and I trust that the Spirit will guide me, and I do my best to keep my heart open and my mind open so that I will be led to say what it is that, not really that I'm supposed to say. It's not any form of sort of predestination. It's that I need to have faith that my words are reaching someone who needs to hear them for whatever reason. And going back over some of these shows, one wonders what reason anyone would ever want to have for hearing these specific words. Excuse me. I will be stopping for liquid refreshment much more often than usual in this particular show. I'm sure you understand why. I haven't taken any remedies for my cold. I'm sure there are many I could call my call up some of my friends who are sort of the more traditional healers, the roots and the herbs and the oils and so forth. I'm sure they would have many recommendations for me. Or I could go to the corner drugstore and get the patent medicines there. I avoid treating my ills for as long as I can. I'm not quite certain exactly where that came from. It comes from childhood, obviously. That's where 99% of our sort of weird behaviors that we don't understand come from. It might have something to do with, my mother, of course, was always back to your mother. My mother was always very big on me getting up and getting to school. And, of course, it wasn't acceptable to be sick because you had to go to school. So maybe that's just one. But I don't feel like I'm not admitting. I just told you I'm sick. It's not a matter of my trying to hide that I'm sick. It's a matter of my not wanting to take medicines. So that goes back to being, for as long as I remember, I resisted taking medicines. I know I was given what I was told was medicine, and it was medicine. When I was very young, because I guess I found out many years later, my dentist, when I was very young, refused to treat me because I was terrified of him, and I would fight him, I would bite him, and that sort of thing. It's like 4 or 5 years old. So he insisted that they give me dope before he'd see me. They gave me some sort of opiate in a brown bottle, I remember, and I know there's something, I don't really remember much about the experience. I do remember taking the medicine, and then years later finding out what was actually going on and feeling very offended by it. So I don't know whether that experience maps onto it somehow as a resistance to taking medicine, because medicine was once forced on me as a small child without my knowledge or approval. I remember another time I take some medication, but I can't remember what it was for. I had to take sulfa pills for something, or sulfa, I think it was sulfa pills. It used to be sort of the catch-all medication for everything that ails you. They give you these sulfa pills. And I couldn't or wouldn't swallow pills at the time. So my mother broke these sulfa pills open and hid the powder in my applesauce, which, of course, you can't hide the taste of stuff like that. I tasted it right away, and I was going to sue her. I was going to take her to the police for trying to poison my food with that medicine that I didn't want to take. But it all worked out. I'm still alive, 48 years old. Not actually 48 until February, but I just I treat myself like a thoroughbred racehorse. They all have their birthday on January 1st. No matter when they were actually born, according to the rules of racing, all horses, I think at least thoroughbred, I don't know about all of them, I know all thoroughbred horses, get 1 year older on January 1st for purposes of competition, you know, whether a horse is considered 2 years old or 3 years old or whatever age that they need to be to qualify for a race. Excuse me once again. Really trying hard not to cough in your ears. That would be a bad thing. So coughing anyway, on the best of days, I sometimes feel like a, you know, good old cough is going to come along. Sometimes I'm just here for half an hour running my mouth. It's not a natural human condition, I think. I remember I was taught once that we have one mouth and two ears, and we should use them in that proportion. So I think that it's not a natural human condition for one person to sit and just talk continuously for an extended length of time, although certainly there are many, many people who like to do that. Some of our great orators, extremely long-winded, and I think about the only modern reference we might have to that would be former President Bill Clinton, who certainly did love the sound of his own voice, and the only president in my memory to ever be preempted by the networks on his State of the Union address. Because he just went on too damn long. But I guess you got to have some form of respect for somebody who just is so confident in so confident that what he says needs to be heard that he'll just stand up there well past the point when anybody is actually listening, except for those poor bastards who are trapped in the Senate chamber with him or the House chamber. It's House chamber where they do the State of the Union, isn't it? And they get everybody together. It used to be so much fun, but now everybody hates each other, so not fun anymore. Not doing any political stuff here, at least haven't for a while. Politics went from being something of interest technically for me to something that rather bored me, and that's something that just makes me angry. So I make every effort to stay away from it, which is tough when you spend a lot of time on Facebook. But now that I'm working during the day, I don't spend near as much time on Facebook. So I'm a happier person, I think. I apologize to my Facebook friends who don't get to see as much of me. Perhaps they're happier too. I don't know. Excuse me, I am still I'm drinking a carbonated beverage. You just found out. If you do see me on Facebook, on Mudtoe Sasquatch page. That's MUDTOESASQUATCH. Mostly what you're going to see these days are my blog entries, which I have to paste directly into. I have a blog, which is mudtoesasquatch.com. I spell the same way, except it's all one word, and there's none of those tricky underscores or anything. And that's the blog itself, but I can't post links to the blog on my Facebook page because it just doesn't pass it on. It doesn't. If you have a link to an external website, it sort of restricts, probably isn't the right word. It doesn't get as many views, near as many views. It gets about 10 times as many views if I just take the text from the blog and paste it in the Facebook page. So if you come to my Facebook page, you will see my blogs without the links to the. You'll see the text of the blogs without the links to the blog itself. And that's mostly what you'll see on my Facebook page. But I do like you to look at my blogs, and I do like you to comment on them. Very few people do. I get a few likes here and there. But I'd like to hear what you think about what I'm writing about and the writing style, because I'm using those blogs as sort of a testing ground for these books that I want to write, I say plural books. I have a novel in mind and also a book of short stories and essays. So it's not, I'm not talking about like Harry Potter. I'm not going to write seven. I hope at some point it leads to more books. But right now I have two in mind. And these are sort of trial balloons for the kind of things that are going to be written in those books. So I do like for people to look at them and tell them what they like and what they don't like. So if you see them there on Facebook, you can comment there. If you see them on the blog, which is, again, mudtoesasquatch.com, that's just a WordPress-type blog, and you can comment there. That is a moderated forum. I will look at the comments first, and it'll pass as long as it's not spam, and as long as you don't say anything outrageously racist or something like that. I don't exclude comments because they're critical of me. So do please slip something in the comment that lets me know that you're not a bot. And all will be well. This week's blogs, I like to go over them. They appear on Tuesdays and Fridays, unless there's some sort of unusual situation. Tuesday's blogs, and then I always have to embarrass myself by looking at what I wrote, because I don't remember. I remember what I wrote today, usually. I don't. Tuesdays is generally the problem. So here I am getting on the internet as I talk to you and try and find exactly what I wrote about on Tuesday. Tuesdays. Oh, this is an interesting one. No, it's not. But anyway, I shouldn't be so deprecating towards my writing, because it's a manifesting kind of thing. But if I'm negative about it, then negativity will come back to me. So it is the most wonderful thing that has ever been written, except for what I wrote today. What I wrote on Tuesday has this clever title: "Not to Swipe Cookies. That is the law. Are we not men?" And some of you may recognize that as being based on a line from H.G. Wells' The Island of Lost Souls, which was later retitled The Island of Dr. Moreau for Hollywood purposes. It's been made into a movie 3 different times that I know of. And it's about a biologist, geneticist, who goes into the jungle and starts playing with man and beast in an attempt to create a perfect being. And he really isn't getting very far with it, but he has a lot of sort of failed experiments wandering around his back 40. And they do that thing that I put in the title. The boss of the creatures is named Sayer of the Law, and he says, "What is the law?" And the others repeat something back to him, like, "Not to shed blood, that is the law. Are we not men?" You know, there's that cadence, the answer, "Not to eat the flesh of animals, that is the law. Are we not men?" And it occurred to me that sort of reads onto our society. That's the way we sort of think of the law, the way the law is presented to us as just this fixed thing. You know, there's no explanation in Dr. Moreau's laws. He's using it as a way to keep the creatures under control, just the way that authority uses the law to keep ordinary people under control. While some rules, it seems, have some sort of solid basis in things that people should do or shouldn't do, most of them are just things somebody made up to preserve their own advantage. At least that's what I think. So that's what I wrote about on Tuesday. And then Friday's blog was more personal, about an experience I had today going for my physical for work, which actually is not so much for work as it is for this certificate that I'm supposed to get for work. It's the place I work for is a transportation company, and it's we drive special needs students to and from school, and they like for everyone who works for the company, even the chairman and the president and the founder, everybody gets their state certificate so that they can get in a car and drive a student around if they need to. So I need to do this as well, and I'm happy to do it. And I've done my classroom hours and have done part of my in-car requirement. And then the other requirement is you got to go get a physical and make sure that you don't have some disease, like you don't have narcolepsy or something that would be bad for you to be in the car. So I went for my physical today and did all the standard stuff. They gave me an eye test and a hearing test, and I peed in the cup. And they set me down with a doctor. He's got this long list. I'm sure you've been through this at least once. They give you this long list of diseases, and they just ask you one by one if you've ever had them, and then they go through and they check off whatever. You know, heart disease, lung disease, you know, impetigo, whatever. So I admitted, you know, I have that label of diabetes that the doctor put on me because I had a blood test come out with too much sugar in it. And even though I am now back in the normal range with diet and medication, the diet hasn't been so great lately. I need to get back onto that. But I have to get a letter from my doctor saying that the high blood sugar that I have had is not a danger to me driving a car. And the same thing with the mood disorder that I take lithium for. And then we got down to, my doctor's cool like that. He'll write that letter for me, I'm sure. But I got down to, he asked me about alcoholism or drug addiction. Well, it's supposed to be confidential, right? And I want to be honest at all times. So I told him, yes, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I didn't mention drug addict. I just said alcoholic. And, you know, I've been in recovery for 7 years. And he says, oh, I think that's an automatic disqualification. Like in 1 second, my whole life is turned upside down because, you know, I've got this new job and I really like it. And I mean, am I really going to lose it? I mean, is that legal? Is that fair that I can lose it because I admitted to being, if I'd have lied, I wouldn't have had a problem, you know. But as it turns out, I was there. They had given me the wrong, the wrong list of things to check. There was a different certificate, was he was talking, and the HR person at work said that has happened a number of times. That they've just gotten the people at the place that does the work physicals has just gotten confused. And given the, I can see, having been there, I can see how that happened. It was very busy. And there's a lot of different things going on at the same time that they just took the wrong checklist out of the filing cabinet. And as a result, I went and confessed to my new boss that I'm a recovering alcoholic, and to our human resources manager that I'm an alcoholic. You know, I didn't feel really ready to talk about that with them. I mean, if it had been part of the requirements of the job, I just wouldn't have applied for the job. I wouldn't have interviewed for it because I know if being an alcoholic is going to exclude me, I don't think it should. Especially if I've never had any sort of negative test or something that if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I have to admit that at one time when my addiction was at its worst, it did affect my performance at work. But it wasn't so much a safety issue; it was just my, ability to do my job issue, which when you become obvious is. I don't think that really is. The point is, if I knew that they had a problem, which they don't actually, but if they had been upfront said, there's a problem if you're an alcoholic, I wouldn't have walked in the place. But I had to straighten out somehow. Obviously I had to tell them because I didn't come back with the certificate I was supposed to come back with. So I asked my boss, my new boss, when I came back to have a short meeting with her, I just had to say, maybe I could have said, it seemed odd, but my first thought was just to say that I had an illness that was disqualifying me. And then to see if I could, from doing the driving, not from anything else that the job involved, but for me, the driving would be a small part of it. I'm going to be an office employee who drives, when it's necessary, when all the other substitute drivers are otherwise engaged or if there are people sick or whatever. It didn't really get to that. I sat and I told my boss, I said, it's not going to work if I use the generic thing. It's going to have to be more detailed than that. So I told her, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and the doctor at the hospital told me that disqualified me. And she said she had never heard of such a thing. So she called the HR supervisor. So now I had to come out to the HR supervisor, too. And she said she'd never heard of it either, but she'd said the same thing that I just told you, that sometimes they get their wires crossed out that way, and they may simply have her belief is that they gave me the wrong evaluation, that they were evaluating me along a different criteria than they had meant to. So they seem pretty sure about it. So I'm going to keep a good thought and manifest good things. And when I get back to work on Monday, believe that all of that's going to be straightened out. And then I'll have an appointment for the physical that I'm supposed to take. And they're keeping me very busy. They've let me jump in with both feet. I've had a lot of classroom hours during the first week, which is something that I'm supposed to take over, at least partially, at some point. Which was one of the strengths of my resume coming in, that I've done trainings before as a teacher. And then it's just a lot. My new job is taking a lot of the things off of my boss that she's had to do, and it's kept her from doing her boss stuff. It's just what I'm working on now is a series of notes to the drivers. They're responsible. The individual route drivers are responsible for collecting emergency information from the kids parents. You know, who do we contact if there's a problem? Where do we go if we can't find you? That sort of thing. And it's an astonishingly high number of those emergency forms just never get returned. So she's putting out a memo to the various drivers and saying, we don't have this emergency information from X, Y, and Z. And, you know, it takes some time to do that because each letter has to be tailored individually. They don't really have any sort of automated way to do that. That's going to be my task. You know, right now it's to put those letters together. In the future, it may be to find an automated way to do it. So it's a good gig. I like it a lot. And I was very, very upset most of this afternoon while in that car driving back to, I would say most of this afternoon, but excuse me, for the time it took for me to get from the clinic back to my place of work, probably about 20 minutes. It just seemed like hours. Trying to think, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell people? Sort of a great demonstration of the fragility is not the word that I want. Just how quickly life can change for no reason. You think you've got, because I totally relaxed. I said, okay, I have this job. Now I can start worrying about maybe being able to put a little bit of money away. Maybe you start saving up to buy a car to replace my old war horse, which is you're doing fine, but I did have to put $1,100 into it this week to keep it running. One reaches a point where, you know, when do you have enough money that you could just buy a new one? Still wondering about, am I going to stay in this location? Am I going to move closer to where I'm working? And then something like this happens, it just blows you out of the water, potentially. You know, again, it appears, certainly appears, and I'm working too hard to manifest this, that it's not going to be a problem, and I'm going to be able to continue to go on. That's certainly the attitude the people there are taking. So I should take it too. Present a unified front to the universe, as my New Age people would probably think of it. So I've managed to talk away almost all of the show, which is a good thing. I don't like to be sitting here going, let me try and think of something to say. I did just sort of let it slip to my landlord that I am thinking of moving, didn't I? I could mention my landlord is Iggy, who is also the master of this radio station. He has a show with his sister Rosa. They do intuitive readings on Mondays at 6:00. And I might as well just go ahead and mention the other shows here on the With Insights channel. With Insights Radio is just With Insights. Well, anyway, With Insights channel, I think it's With Insights Radio channel of Blog Talk. As I mentioned, Iggy and Rosa at 6:00 on Mondays, Intuitive Voice Hour with Jenny Seek, 7:00 on Tuesdays, Entrepreneurial Excellence with Heather Tapia on Wednesdays at 3 p.m., and then there's me, Mudtoe Sasquatch, with you on Mudtoe at Midnight, Fridays at midnight, or Saturday mornings at midnight, depending on how you look at it. I look at it as Friday. I saw in a vampire movie, it says the night belongs to the day it follows. In other words, it's still Friday until the sun rises. And I think that I find that rather poetic and logical. You know, if we're defining things in terms of day and night, that certainly makes sense. So we've nearly come to the end of our time together for this evening. My voice held out. I only coughed once. I do thank you for listening. I hope you will come back next week when hopefully I will be in better voice and will have perhaps more encouraging things to tell you, to speak about, or maybe not. Just never know what life is going to bring. And I just got to roll with the punches, I guess, as they say. So one more time, I do thank you very often. I know it's sort of a thing that to fill in the spaces, but yes, I do thank you for listening to the show. I do appreciate it, and I hope you will join me again next week. Have a good evening.